It's Your Money with the investor coach, Paul Nichols, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about the traditional financial planning model. Paul believes education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will lead to peace of mind. He uses simple solutions grounded in academic research from leading financial minds at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the University of Chicago, including several Nobel laureates. You do not need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. Paul Nichols is the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisor. He is a member of the National Ethics Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, and member of Strategic Coach Quarterly. Get ready for some common sense clarity coaching with the investor coach, Paul Nichols.
Good morning and welcome to It's Your Money. I hope this finds you well on this football Saturday. Football has been very, very good to me. Although this is not a sports show, this is a financial show. And I'm your host, Paul Nichols. I hope this does find you all well this morning. For those of you that are preparing for the big game, it's the kickoff. It's the first game of the PSU Penn State season. Now, some of you are outside of the State College listening area and some of the other areas, so... But I think everybody, what's the old saying? Luke Miller's joining me this morning. What's the saying, why God made the sky blue and white?
He must have been a Penn... It's proof that God loves Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State fans. So anyway, it's a big football Saturday. You're listening to Coach's Corner. I'm kicking off Coach's Corner, as I do every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and this is pre-recorded. 9 to 10 a.m. Will be me, Paul Nichols, the investor coach, normally joined by Luke, the soundboard Miller. Although Luke has a lot to offer this week because we're going to be talking about long-term care, and he's a long-term care guru. Then after our show will be Ken Pash with Unlocking Your Full Potential. He talks about leadership issues. Some of you have heard Ken. Ken's been on the air for many years. And then following Ken... is a new addition to our lineup. If you haven't checked them out in the last couple weeks, I think this is their third week that they've been with us, and that is Brian Allen and Ryan Lowe. Brian's a mortgage guy, and Ryan is a real estate guy. So we've got an investor coach, a leadership coach, a mortgage coach, and a real estate coach that all line up Coach's Corner, which is brought to you every Saturday morning on WBLF and WEEO. This beautiful Saturday morning, the first weekend of football, we are going to talk about long-term care. So let me introduce Luke. Luke, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, thanks. How about yourself, Paul?
I'm doing good. Aren't you season ticket holders to the game?
No, but I know some people, and I make it to a couple games every year.
Do you? Yeah, you've got some inroads to the...
I've got connections.
Now, what people don't know that are listening from the studio, we could walk to the stadium from here.
We could.
Yeah, we wouldn't
still
want to.
It'd take a while.
It's not that far of a walk. It's only, what, 3-4 blocks, something like that? No, it's about a mile probably over there, but yeah. It's going to be a zoo today as it normally is on football Saturdays, which is one of the things that makes Happy Valley very unique. I've lived in other college towns, but like I lived in Boulder when I'm from Colorado, and I don't remember quite the hoopla over football that there is here.
Yeah, I can't imagine the I don't even know what the mascot is. What?
Buffaloes, baby. You talking about Colorado?
Yeah.
The CU, Buffaloes.
Buffaloes.
Yeah, different division than the Big Ten. But that's more Western. You know, I'm a Western boy, so originally. Now East, by default. My wife is from Center Hall, born and raised. So, you know, there's two types of married men, right? Henpicked and damn liars.
I think you've mentioned that before.
Now, some of the ladies don't like that, but we're just joking around, ladies, okay? Henpicked and damn liars. That's straight from my 92-year-old grandfather, who's been married 63 years to my grandmother, and then she passed away, and he remarried several years ago. In fact, I'm going to see him in a couple weeks because he's not doing well. 92 years old, though. His famous saying is... today's the first day for the rest of your life. I mean, he didn't start it, but
he lives by it.
Yeah, he's known for saying that. But anyway, speaking of older folks.
Yeah, you've got good genes.
That segues right into long-term care. Speaking of good genes.
I was just going to say, you know, you'd be a prime candidate for looking into long-term care insurance.
Yes, I would. I would. In fact, you know, long-term care is one of those subjects that we approach in our practice. And it's something I'm passionate about, Luke, but you know, it's one of those areas that it's a lot of work to deal with this subject for us as advisors, but also as our clients, and you know, health underwriting and all that kind of stuff. This whole area of long-term care, I'll tell you, could really wipe a lot of people out when it comes to their needs, you know, care-wise.
Well, it's an important thing to look at, and unfortunately, it's often overlooked or dismissed as not important, when in all actuality, it ranks right up there with everything else, or at least it should.
Yeah, now what is long-term care? Let's start out by talking a little bit about what is long-term care. This show is going to be on long-term care. We're going to talk about, just to give you an overview, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about what it is, who uses it, options to handle it, different moving parts. We'll talk a little about Medicare, Medicaid. We're going to talk about the partnership plan, which is part of the Pennsylvania special plan Pennsylvania has that Rendell has been behind. We're going to talk a little about, did we bring a Social Security statement? I think
yes, we did.
In fact, let's kick it off with that. I'm going to have Luke read a paragraph, which is, if you look at your Social Security statement that comes around your birthday every year, this was something that was added about 2 years ago. And you know, my opinion, the Social Security statement that comes out is nothing more than a marketing brochure for the government. But that's another show. Luke, why don't you go ahead and let's set it up this way and find out what's the government's stance on long-term care.
Well, we're gonna read this little paragraph here real quick.
This is, by the way, from my Social Security statement.
Right on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security pays retirement, disability, family, and survivors' benefits. Medicare, a separate program run by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, help pay for inpatient hospital care, not inpatient, nursing care, doctor's fees, drugs, and other medical services, and supplies to people age 65 and older, as well as to people who have been receiving Social Security disability benefits for 2 years. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Medicare does not pay for long-term care, so you may want to consider options for private insurance.
So really, the Social Security statement that we get every year around our birthday, folks, or prior to our birthday, this statement, like I say, is a marketing brochure. You should read it because it does change every year. But the government's stance is very clearly, look, we can't afford to take care of it. I mean, look at the healthcare situation we're dealing with right now. That doesn't, all the healthcare news you're hearing right now and all the arguing and the hoopla going on right now has nothing to do with long-term care.
Not at all.
And you found an interesting statistic, didn't you, Luke, as it relates to what the amount of government, the government spends on long-term care?
Medicaid. And now this is as of, this is about a year old. Medicaid pays for 44% of total long-term care services. But they only cover the indigent.
Yeah, the poor people. Yeah. In fact, you know, what's interesting, though, is one of the reasons the government came out, I believe, and said, listen, at long-term care, you're on your own, is because of the 42%. When you think about how big that number is, 42%.
44.
44%. How's it actually read?
Medicaid pays for 44% of total long-term care services.
Folks, you think about how big that is. We're talking trillions of dollars, okay, nationally. I remember Rendell had a study back when he first went into office, and I read an article. It's in the Star Ledger, I think, not Star Ledger, whatever the Harrisburg paper was or is. And they figured and estimated that 50% of the Medicaid claims for long-term care were fraudulent, in that the people really had spent down their assets to qualify for long-term care.
Or hid their assets.
Hidden their assets, yeah. You know. So let's talk about long-term care. What is it? What exactly is long-term care?
It's a variety of things. There's a couple different ways to handle it. But
what
I've got a little
list
here. Well, you've got personal or custodial care, and they assist people with activities of daily living, such as eating, bathing, dressing, using the restroom, moving from place to place, things like that. But then you can get into skilled care, which is a little more intense, and it's the treatment of medical conditions provided by licensed professionals like nurses, therapists, physicians, that kind of thing. Now, it can take place at home, which a lot of people don't realize, or in the community, in an assisted living facility, or as everyone thinks of, the nursing home. And then the care may be required as a result of chronic physical condition or illness, disability, or cognitive impairment.
So normally what we see is most care starts at home.
Right.
It graduates from there into assisted living, which is like a dorm or a barracks. It's kind of like a dorm living, kind of, sort of.
Like an apartment complex with a little extra.
Kind of, sort of, but
depending on where you go.
It's not really like an apartment. It's more like a hotel.
That's
kind of sort of really, because it doesn't really have kitchens. And then you go into nursing home, which is a small percentage of people. So those are the different types of care. Most people prefer to have care at home, but that requires a lot of coordination, right, Luke?
Definitely. And I just want to make one other point. we were talking about, you know, healthcare and everything else. And one of the big differences between long-term care and medical and hospital care is most long-term care isn't designed to cure anything. It's designed to get you through the activities of daily living. And so that's something that kind of helps paint a better picture for people.
Well, ultimately now, you got to realize that people out there, especially, you know, when we look at this part of the country, you got that Pennsylvania Dutch influence, you know, that show me type mentality. And what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, people will say, well, we have good genes in our family. We live a long time. Well, that's exactly the people that need long-term care, because at some point you're going to get sick and you're going to need care, where there's this perception that because you live a long time, you're not going to need care.
No, it's quite the opposite.
Generally speaking, yeah.
If you're super unhealthy, chances are you're not going to linger.
Right. And that's really the bottom line, right?
Right. If you live long, chances are, you know, especially with advances in medical technology and everything else, people are living longer, but they're also needing more care as they do such.
Right. So when you start thinking about it, you know, I heard a statistic, this is many, probably 10 years ago, a guy said to me, he goes, you know, when you look at the numbers, about 7 out of 10 people linger. 3 have a sudden demise, you know, have a quick death, or they go quickly. But 7 out of 10 linger. And that's really what long-term care insurance and long-term care health need really addresses, is that group of people that linger. But when will you need it? And this is interesting. The statistics vary, but they all indicate that you are likely to need long-term care in general. Women will have longer life expectancies than men, and therefore will be more likely to require long-term care. So more women, 2 out of every 3 women end up needing long-term care, 1 out of every 3 men. Approximately 70% of those Americans who reach the age of retirement will need long-term care at some point in their lives.
That is a big number.
That's according to the Long-Term Care Planning Handbook, which is a federal handbook that comes out every year. The lifetime probability of becoming disabled in at least 2 activities of daily living or being cognitively impaired is 68% for people age 65 or older. That's according to the AARP.
Wow.
44.4 million caregivers. 1 out of every 5 households are involved in caregiving to those persons 18 or over. And this is really, that's according to the National Alliance for Caregiving. And here's something that's really interesting. 42% of people in need of long-term care are 64 years old and younger.
How about that?
That's from a study at Georgetown University.
So it's not just for retirees.
No. So you know, what is it? It's care that you're going to need that goes beyond what we call your medical or short-term.
Right.
It's going to be for a lot of people that may linger or get older, but then a lot of people need care that aren't that old. Okay. So what is it? Who uses it? Well, it's a whole array of different people who use it. And then how much does it cost? Do you have any input on that, Luke, as it relates to cost?
Well, cost, I mean,
I have some numbers here.
Long-term care, I can give you the average numbers here in Pennsylvania.
Well, go ahead and look up Central PA. You've got a couple books here. I'm gonna share this. This is just national average. This is national average. Nursing home, $58 to $6,400 per month, or $69 to $77,000 a year. Assisted living facilities, about $3,000. Or $3,000 per month, or $36,000 per year. And home health is about $2,500 a month, or $30,000 per year. Now, that's national numbers. What do you have for local?
Right in Central PA, we're looking at rate for a nursing home. Annual rate is right around $74,000 a year. That's for a semi-private room. Now, if you want to jump to a private room, it goes up to about almost $77,000 a year. In an assisted living facility, you're looking right around $32,000 a year. And these are median numbers. And in adult daycare, you're looking at right around $12,000 a year.
That's expensive, and we all know that. It's the number one reason people are financially wiped out. It's the number one reason for depression amongst the elderly, that is the unpaid caregiver. This is Paul Nichols. You're listening to It's Your Money. I'm joined by Luke Miller. Luke the Soundboard Miller, and we will be right back after this Profit Center break talking about long-term care. Welcome back to It's Your Money. My name is Paul Nichols, the investor coach. I hope this finds you well. I'm joined by Luke Miller, and we are talking and discussing long-term care and the different options. In the last segment, we talked a little bit about what it is, who uses it, and a little bit statistics as it relates to cost. It's very expensive. And, you know, my philosophy in my practice is I really don't care how you handle this, but my friends, you better handle it. Now, some people want to throw their hands up on this and not make a decision. I learned a long time ago, when you don't make a decision, you've made a decision, you know, and you don't want to be blindsided by this of all things. And it's not that pleasant, but
well, and this isn't one of the more entertaining topics we talk about. I mean, it's not as exciting as some of the other strategies we use.
Like next week, when we're talking about banking on yourself, we're going to talk about how do you become your own banker? How do you do what the bank's done to you for many years?
But it's every bit as important.
Absolutely.
And possibly more.
Well, let's talk about what people's options are, Luke, okay? So someone's 50 years or older.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to be proactive. And for those that are proactive, it pays off in spades, okay?
Oh, yeah.
They want to be proactive and start planning for their retirement, college, you know, all the different things you need to plan for as you get to be that age. And one of the things you want to plan for is how are you ultimately going to be taken care of? And you know, one of the things I want to mention as we get into this conversation, that a lot of people want to make a logical decision about a very emotional issue. See, when your health is fine, you make different decisions than when your health deteriorates. And I'll tell you that I had surgery about 5 or 6 years ago. I remember it was minor surgery, but I had planned on being back to work a couple days after that, and I wasn't back to work for the 10 days after that. And I'll tell you, it wasn't until my health had failed some or I was rehabilitating that I felt so vulnerable. And you can only imagine as people get older and they can't do what they want to do, or they, you know, have an accident or something happens, you become very vulnerable and you change the way you make decisions. It's just different. So, you know, you can't look at this logically, because I'll tell you, there's going to come a point in your life when you're going to be looking at this very emotionally. And that is, you know, has the plan that I've designed done the right things for me? Does it allow me to be in control? Does it allow me to make choices? Does it allow me to call the shots and not relinquish control? Which would you say is one of the biggest things that we see with people as they get older that they want, Luke? They want to maintain control.
Control is it. I mean, they want to stay at home as long as they can. They want to feel like they're still in control of their own life. It's can't put it any simpler than that.
And cash is king.
Yeah.
You know? So let's talk about it. What are the options that people have when they start to plan for this issue of not needing it right now, but plan for how they're going to handle it?
What they're going to have in place.
Yeah, what options do people have?
Well, as we talked about earlier, Medicare is not an option. That's
Well, it could be an option, though, but it's not a lot of long...
Medicaid, right.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. When you think of Medicare and Medicaid, what pops out when you look?
Medicare is essentially available to anyone 65 or older, or who has Social Security disability.
Who signed
benefits.
Up for Medicare,
right? Medicaid is for the poor.
And that's for people. They may be on Medicare, they may not be, but it's for people that are indigent, poor, certain situations, disabled to a certain degree. But Medicare and Medicaid are two different animals. Excuse
right.
me.
Right. Oftentimes confused.
Yes. Now, Medicare will cover up to
100 days.
Now,
if it's following a hospital visit for the same issue.
And you're considered rehabilitatable, and you were in the hospital for at least 3 days.
So there's a lot of stipulations with that.
Yeah, I read an article many years ago the Kaiser Foundation put out, Kaiser Research Foundation, and they had discovered only 8% of people ever qualify for those 100 days. It's a pretty small percentage, but that's Medicare. Medicare is very short. The max you ever get is 100 days. That's very clear. Then there becomes Medicaid. Now, Medicaid's a different animal. Medicaid will take care of you for as long as you need to be taken care of if you qualify for it. Now, in order to qualify, you have to spend your assets down to a certain level as a couple, and you also have to spend your assets down to a certain level as an individual. If you have certain amounts of money or certain assets and you go to qualify for Medicaid, they would call you what's termed Medicaid ineligible. Medicaid ineligible. That means that you're not eligible for Medicaid for X amount of months or until you spend that nest egg down. That makes sense, Luke?
Yeah.
You want to expand on that?
Well, it's essentially if you're not poor, you're not going to get it.
So they're going to make you spend your assets down to qualify.
Right.
Okay. So we have Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare 100 days, Medicaid most people are not going to qualify for.
But if you do qualify for Medicaid, you're at the mercy of the government. So you're going into the nursing home they say, and you don't really have a whole lot. You don't have anything to say about it other than, okay.
They're in control. They can put you within any facility within 200 miles of your home. That's the rule.
That's a big range.
But, you know, let's not be doom and gloomer types here.
No, but it's a nice option to have. It's reality. You know, it's good that it's there for the right people.
Yeah. The question is, do you want to relinquish control? And I'm telling you that most people that I plan with, and a lot of my clients, which is hundreds of clients that are older, 50 and above, they will tell you no.
Well, they've worked their whole lives to get to a point where they can be independent.
Right.
Financially.
Right.
And then for that to be wiped away and then to have no independence whatsoever is a terrible, terrible thing to go
through. What would be worse is to see hundreds of thousands of dollars go down the drain because you didn't do some proactive planning and you leave your spouse who's not sick in a predicament, in a pickle, as we would say when I was a kid. Remember what the pickle was? You know, baseball.
I've heard the saying, but I...
You know, guys in the pickle, he's between the shortstop.
A rundown.
And the second, yeah, a rundown. We called it a pickle. But anyway, that's another...
Next in line for options, are we going there?
Yes, let's go there.
Would be your family.
Family would be an option.
It's a lot of people use that. They have their children help them out. Or
so they just burden their kids.
Siblings, are right. Essentially, yeah, you know, that's what it is.
Every so often I'll get an old crusty guy who'll say, well, you know, I took care of these kids their whole life. Now they can take care of me. I say, well, that's fine. Which one's going to give you the bath? Which one's going to change your Depends? You know, I mean, there's a certain amount of dignity, obviously. I mean, let's be real here. Right. Or the guy that says, well, when it gets that bad, I'll just go out and end it. Okay, well, fine. Let's go ahead and define where you're drawing that line right now. Where is it you draw the line between ending it and not ending it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's easy to say when you're healthy.
Yeah.
Both of those are.
But right.
Then when you get to that point, boy, it's amazing how your perception of things changes.
So the options are Medicare, Medicaid, family.
Self-insuring,
which is just paying out of your pocket, okay, cash.
Or regular insurance.
Or
long-term care insurance.
Okay. Now, those are really the options people have, or a combination of those.
Right.
You know, some people might have, they'll use their Medicare if they can, if they have some family that might come in. Look, you're going to have family that comes in anyway, because you're going to have family that's going to come in and help cook a meal here and there, that type of stuff, or church, or friends, or, you know, hopefully you have some of those resources. But you're still going to have to pay for a lot of care.
Sure.
That may be needed. So the question is, you know, you got to develop a good plan. And the way we look at it is the easiest and most inexpensive way to handle long-term care is insurance, because you're paying pennies on the dollar.
Definitely.
Okay, so we want to really start to get into if insurance is the option we're going to use or in part. Let's first start by explaining to people what co-insuring is, because, you know, in our practice, you can tell people the way we do it, Luke. We're not big into Cadillac plans. That's ridiculous.
Right. Our goal isn't to get the biggest premium possible as it is in some other industries or even some other insurance company.
It's just the opposite of that.
Our goal is to make it as palatable and easy as we can.
The smallest premium we can get.
So what that means is you're kind of hedging your bet. You're putting your bet on the line on a roulette table. You're going to cover part of the expense, and the insurance company is going to cover part of the expense. That way you can afford the premiums. If they're too expensive, you're not going to keep it long enough anyway.
Well, look,
you're never going to be able to use it.
Yeah, here's the bottom line. If people, there's really two things people say when it comes to long-term care insurance. One, it may not, you know, I may never need it.
May not need it.
That's true. Statistically speaking, between you and your spouse, yeah, one of you is going to need it, okay? Mm-hmm. The other thing that people say is, well, it's too expensive. Okay, well, I understand that. You know, it's going to be more expensive than auto, home, and health insurance because statistically, more people use it. Okay, it's all based on statistics. Okay,
and it's a more expensive service.
Yeah, and it's healthcare is very expensive. Obviously, that's why we have this whole conversation going on right now about healthcare. But you know, when you start to look at it, here's the way I look at it. I would rather have a client that has some of a policy, especially to pay for the coordination of the care, than have none because they would have had to go into their pocket anyway.
Right.
So, you know, to get a policy that co-insures makes more sense for me. To give you an example, instead of having a plan that pays $200 a day, you might have a plan that pays $150 a day.
Sure.
If you need more down the road, then you come up with it, you know. Instead of having a plan that pays unlimited, have a plan that goes with the statistical average of 3 or 4 years. You know, that type of thing. So
sure.
Co-insuring would mean you the plan covers the bulk, half, a third, whatever you want it to cover, and you go into pocket for the difference. But, my friends, you would have went into the pocket anyway.
Right, right. In this way, it keeps the premium palatable. You can afford to pay it. It's not this big McGilla gorilla every year that you have to pay. So it's really the best way we found to do it, and our clients thank us for it.
Well, I'll tell you something a lot of people haven't thought out there, I bet you, Luke, and that is this. How many folks do you think out there have actually thought about going to their kids and giving them the option as to whether they would want to pay for the care?
Boy, I can't imagine any of them have.
And I'll tell you, if you think about that, ladies and gentlemen, let's say, for example, you got 4 kids, you're 60 years old now, your kids are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, okay? Well, ultimately, your estate's going to probably go to your kids in general. I know everybody's different, but generally speaking, would that be the case, Luke?
Definitely.
So then the question becomes, well, if a guy's sitting on a house and IRAs and he's got $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, whatever put away, whatever that number is, ultimately the kids are going to receive that.
Right.
You know, so really, some kids would be willing. I'll tell you, because I've had a number of kids come to me, of my clients, they would come to me and say, listen, I'll be willing to pay for the long-term care, because what it does is it really protects my inheritance and my long-term, and the long-term net worth of my parents.
Right. A sharper kid will bring it up, but I can't think of one instance where a parent has brought it up to the kids.
Well, because most of the time, the parents don't want to burden their kids, but right. You know, if you think about it, my friends, you're going to burden them with the need for the care or the need for the coordination. Let me tell you something. We had Deb Soltis on the show a while back, and she was talking about a lot of kids live away from their parents. They got to hop on planes, fly in, start coordinating with all these facilities or these caregivers. It becomes very daunting.
Sure. It ends up being a second full-time job, just getting everything set up.
Yeah. What was that stat earlier? 44 million unpaid caregivers?
Yes.
44 million unpaid caregivers in this country. That's a lot of people that are taking off time from work, that are doing different things to go help with their parents. And, you know, that's why the parents don't want to burden their kids.
Right.
But ultimately they will if they don't do some proactive planning.
But when you look at it, it's so much cheaper to pay for the insurance than it is to pay for the care.
You know, we got about a minute. Can we just give them a quick story or an example? Because we'll come back to the five moving parts.
Well, we'll start off with a real neat story, actually. I found this on Forbes. And essentially, this woman saw her parents need long-term care. They didn't have insurance. They ended up being on Medicaid. They lost everything, and she vowed it wasn't going to happen to her. So at age 60, she and her husband bought long-term care insurance. This was back in 2000. And way before she ever thought she'd need it, she actually got to use it. In 2002, she needed back surgery and was laid up for 10 months.
Wow.
And the insurance actually covered the bills to have people come in and help her out. You know, everything that you'd think you'd need when you're laid up for 10 months. So it paid off in spades well before they ever anticipated it.
You know, we hear all kinds of stories like this, folks. But what we hear more than anything is people that are wiped out financially for the need for care. With that being said, you know what? We got to run. We're up against a break already. You're listening to Paul Nichols and Luke Miller with It's Your Money, the financial show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We'll be right back after this Profit Center break.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of It's Your Money. But the first part of Coach's Corner. Coach's Corner is brought to you every Saturday morning by four coaches, Paul Nichols, myself, Ken Pash, Ryan Lowe, and Brian Allen. And we all pull back the curtain on our respective industries and expose the truth about those industries, whatever they may be, real estate, leadership, mortgages, and financing. And, of course, me and my sidekick here, Luke, the soundboard Miller, where we talk about financial issues and we pull back the curtain on those issues. And this morning we are discussing a fairly sensitive and often a subject that a lot of people just have a lot of myth conceptions about, and that is this whole area of care and the need for care and the potential need down the road. And you know, years ago people didn't have to plan for this, Luke, because families lived closer together. You know, you'd bring the grandma in and she'd stay at the house, or grandfather would, you know, or whatever. But families are spread out anymore and we're living a lot longer. You know, longevity is a, it's one of those things we have to plan for nowadays. You know, that's why Alzheimer's is so rampant in our country. You know, your brain is gone, but your body isn't quite ready to give it up yet, you know?
Yeah, technology has brought us to this point where we haven't been able to overcome everything. So the longer we live, the more things like Alzheimer's things of that nature occur.
Well, you know, we're talking about long-term care. The first couple segments, we talked a little about what is it, who uses it, options to handle it. The last section or segment of the show, we got into a little bit about the five options of how to handle it, which would be Medicare, Medicaid, family, self-insuring, or transferring the risk to a company using long-term care insurance. And now we're going to talk about, if you were going to use long-term care insurance, how would you design it? What would you look for?
One of the things we see a lot is people get very confused with long-term care insurance. They make it bigger than it has to be. So we've broken it down to the five major moving parts. And we'll just start off right off the top, your monthly or daily benefit.
This would be, how much do you want the plan to pay per day or per month? Now, these plans you have to design ahead of time, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Once you're sick, it's too late to get the insurance.
So the first moving part is, how much does the plan pay per day or pay per month? That is, how much have we designed the plan to pay for per day or per month when it's activated or when it's used, right?
Right. And we use that, like we said earlier, we typically co-insure and we look at it based on averages and based on where you plan on being when you're at that age. So it's not a dart at a dartboard kind of idea. We take everything into consideration with them.
Well, we know that you can buy a policy from $50 a day to $300 a day, some
right.
up to $500 a day. Now, the going rate right now is anywhere between, it depends, $100 a day to $200 a day or somewhere, depending on whether you're in assisted living, a nursing home, or at home.
Yep.
So, generally, a good way to co-insure this is, if you had a plan to pay $150 a day today, you'd be a little bit shy in most situations, a little bit more in others. But that may be a good place to start. And you can go up or down depending on what you need to kind of make your premium more palatable.
Definitely.
So the daily max or the monthly max?
Next moving part would be the benefit multiplier, is what they call it. All it is the length of coverage.
How long do you want the plan to pay that daily amount we talked about earlier? Do you want it to pay, in the average, is 3 to 4 years is the average care need in our country, but you can get a plan that pays 2 years or unlimited?
And the idea, what we typically do is we play the numbers. The average is right around 3 years, so more often than not, our plans are going to be looking right at that 3 years.
3 to 4 years, right in that neighborhood. You know, now, the average care stay is 3 years in our country. Unless you have Alzheimer's, then it's 8. Now, if you have Alzheimer's events, then the way we're planning is going to be inadequate. But again, folks, if you didn't have any plan, you'd have to pay out of pocket anyway.
Right.
So we have the benefit multiplier, which is how much the plan pays per day. Then we have the
monthly and daily max.
Monthly and daily max, how much the plan pays per day. The benefit multiplier, how long it pays it.
Then there's the inflation protection.
The inflation rider.
Right.
Which there's different kinds.
Right. You can go with the guaranteed purchase option, which basically is zero inflation. So essentially you're bucket of money, so to speak, is the same amount now as it will be when you need the money.
In other words, there's no inflation.
No inflation.
Increase.
There's There's a 5% simple option, which is just every year it grows 5% of the original balance. Pretty simple.
Or 5% compound.
5% compound is exactly like it sounds. Grows compound 5% every year.
So if you had $100 a day to start with, and you had no inflation, well, the $100 is always what you would have per day. That's what it would pay.
Right.
If you have 5% simple, then the next year it'd be 105, the next year 110, the next year 115, the next year 120. It's going to go up every year on your anniversary based on the way you designed the plan. In this case, if you pick the 5% simple inflation rider, it's going to increase your daily amount every day that you would need it down the road, right?
Right.
Or compound, it'd be compounded on 5% compounded on the previous year's amount.
Correct.
So the idea is what you're trying to do is keep up with inflation as it relates to the care, the cost of care, and the need for that care.
Sure. And this is something we look at your age typically when we look at this. We look at what your monthly or daily max was also. We try and use this when we can. It's a great product to have, your inflation protection, because prices are going up.
So when you look at a 70-year-old and above, you probably wouldn't buy inflation, right?
No, not typically, no.
If you had a 60 to 70-year-old, you'd probably buy what, simple inflation?
You'd look at simple inflation. It would depend on their situation, though.
Okay. And then someone under 60,
tends to
40
be
or 50-year-olds right. would probably want compound, right?
Exactly.
Now, why don't you explain to people why you have to design that plan ahead of time, and really you're paying the same premium even though you're getting more money in the pot?
Well, I'm not sure. I think what you're asking is why it's better to buy it when you're younger than when you're older.
Well, what you're doing is you're designing a plan for down the road.
Right.
So your premium, although your pot's going to get bigger, so let's say you have a plan that's $100 a day,
mm-hmm.
and you get a 3-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's 195 days in 3 years, or 100 times 195 days would be $109,000 bucket of money.
Right.
Okay, your premium is going to be whatever it is for that bucket every year.
Mm-hmm.
And that premium will stay the same, although the companies reserve the right to increase them. A few haven't. But anyway, that's another conversation. But what happens is your bucket gets bigger on the inflation increases, but your premium stays the same.
Right, right. So it makes it easier to afford a larger bucket down the road.
And here's the way you got to look at it, folks. If you're a 60-year-old, and you bought a long-term care plan, and I'm a 40-year-old, and I buy a long-term care plan, but neither one of us use it till we're 80. That means you would have paid premiums for 20 years, and I'd have paid premiums for 40 years. Who would have paid less in premium?
You would have.
I would have, even though I paid it 20 years longer.
Because it jumps that much.
The price is based on your age and your health. A lot of people see, they're under this myth conception that long-term care, you buy it with money. No, you pay for it with money. You buy it with your health. Talk a little bit about the declines. In fact, with the time we have, 5 or 6 minutes, let's get to the moving parts real quick and we'll talk about declines. So the moving part was daily max, how much the plan pays per day, the benefit
multiplier.
That's time.
Right.
Inflation rider.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a deductible of time.
Elimination period is what
period.
It's called.
Okay. But let's get back to this. So those are the five moving parts. How much the plan pays?
In home care.
Okay. Does the plan pay for home care? How much does the plan pay? How long does it pay it? Does it have an inflation component to it? And what's the deductible of time before the plan kicks in? Those are the moving parts. All the companies are basically the same in that regard. They all vary a little bit in their claims history and their rate increase histories and that type of stuff. But what we really want to get into with a little bit of time we have left is talking about underwriting. Because I'll tell you, 10 years ago, most of the people I wrote a policy for could get approved. Now, how many people do we get declined?
About 50%.
Okay, it is getting very difficult. In the last 10 years, I've watched it become very, very difficult to get long-term care insurance. And what the companies are looking for are the cream of the crop, okay?
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about that. We got about 3-4 minutes.
Well, one of the things we notice, you know, diabetes, everyone knows someone with diabetes. And what's interesting is with a lot of these carriers, if you use any insulin whatsoever, you're an automatic decline. That's pretty common, and it puts everyone in a scary situation. Now, we've been doing some research, and we've found some companies that will actually take people who use some insulin, but it does cost more money, and you don't get the benefits of some of the top-tier companies.
So what you're basically saying is their health plays a significant role. And let's talk about some of the things. Diabetes is a red flag.
Stroke.
Stroke is a red flag. I'll tell you one of the big red flags, folks, that a lot of you would probably be very, very surprised by, and that's muscle skeletal issues. You know, that seems to be more... You know, you would think a guy that's got a bad ticker, a bad heart, there'd be somebody the insurance companies would want to insure, because more than likely they figure, hey, the guy's got a bad heart, he probably will have a sudden demise.
Right.
We won't need to pay for care. But in fact, what we find is with underwriting, muscle skeletal issues like osteopenia, ladies especially want to start getting a long-term care plan if you're going to go the insurance route before you start to have those bone density scores decrease, because we start to see osteopenia or rheumatoid arthritis or arthritic issues, and they become big red flags for underwriting of long-term care. Now, let's talk about the underwriting process, Luke. They don't have to get a physical when people apply, but tell them what the process is.
Well, very, very rarely. Every once in a while they might do that, but... Typically, what the process is, and it varies from company to company, but you will, once you fill out the application, you do all that, it gets sent into the company, then you'll get a phone call from them, and essentially they want to make sure you're with it.
That's the nurse will call them.
The nurse will call, and they'll do it, and they'll ask you some questions.
A cognitive test.
And make sure your faculties are all there.
Right.
And some people, you know, it catches them off guard. They're not prepared for that. They don't know what's going on. The other thing they typically do is they'll order your medical records, which takes some time depending on the doctor in that situation, and they'll review that file.
So they'll take the application, they'll put it with the nurse's report that did the phone call with you, and then they'll couple that with ordering your medical records. That goes to an underwriter, and they make a decision on it. We find about half of the people that apply do not qualify. And as a result, we've had to look at other companies and try to find companies that would qualify people that are considered high risk. But I'll tell you, you want to start looking at this stuff. Some people say, well, I'm in good health. Well, how many medications do you take? Well, I take two. Okay, well, what do you take? Well, I take a high blood pressure med and a cholesterol med. Well, and they might say, well, I don't have high blood pressure. Well, you don't have high blood pressure because
of the medication.
You take a pill for it, okay? Right. You got to realize that if you didn't have high blood pressure, you wouldn't need the pill. Okay, so, you know, one of these things is health is we get into a lot of denial and we get very defensive about it, okay? And folks, ladies and gentlemen, they look at it clinically. I know I got rated recently for health insurance and I was very upset about it. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm on cholesterol medicine in my mid-40s, you know. They consider me to be overweight. If you look at me, you may or may not agree with that. I guess it depends, but I'm certainly not on the charts. As it relates to the BMI type of thing. And I take that personally. I'm like, hey, I'm in good shape. I was doing triathlons several years ago. But, you know, hey, you got 25 pounds overweight, you know, you're middle-aged, you got high cholesterol, all of a sudden you become a high risk.
Sure. It's easy to look past these things, and to get rated is a significant increase in your premium if you get it approved at all.
You know, we're about out of time, Luke. We have any resources we can send people that want to... learn more about. We do have a CD that an interview we had done many years ago with Steve Shedroth, right?
We can do that. If they want this interview, they're more than welcome to it.
And go to iTunes.
Go to iTunes. We're on there. You can call our office. We'll be happy to schedule a complimentary consultation, and we'll just talk to you about what makes sense.
You know, you can go to iTunes now. If you go to the iTunes store and just type in Financial Abundance, all of our shows come up. And our website, of course, Financial Abundance, Inc. That's financialabundanceinc.com. Or just Google us. We pop right up, Financial Abundance. And you can check out the show. We've got video blogs. There's some pretty good resources that we can send to you as it relates to long-term care. There's about 140 companies that deal with long-term care. We only deal with about 10 of them. There's only 10 companies that we would ever deal with as it relates to long-term care. But folks, this is a show and that we wanted to do because we knew it's a subject that a lot of people want to learn more about. Hey, with the couple seconds we have left, ladies and gentlemen, next week we're going to talk about banking on yourself and how to develop your own bank. And a way that you can use to borrow from yourself. And it's just a great concept. It's called Bank on Yourself. We'll be talking about that next week. We hope you've had another event-filled week. And, hey, go Penn State.
Let's go State.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.